Good morning. Today we are starting. Yes, my daughter. Today we are starting the Christmas messages. Now I know last week was technically December, but for some reason they thought that I could do the first one, so we delayed it a week. And so I'm going to start, and you should all feel special that I get to do the first one because I feel special. Just seeing if anyone's awake. I got a haircut for it and everything. That's right, Danny. Yeah. Just all for you guys so that maybe my appearance would help you pay attention. Anyway, you can see the theme back here, for unto us a child is born, which implies today I will be talking about childbirth, something I don't know much about. So, well, I mean, I do know a little bit actually, and I thought about this. I might, I haven't had two kids. I mean, I have. Kate and I have had two kids, and I want to talk about those hospital chairs, and I've done it before, I'm going to do it again, right? And everyone that sat in one of those hospital chairs knows where I'm going. I like to call it the husband chair, and maybe, you know, even that's not PC anymore, but it's still called the husband chair. I'm sure that's what it is in the catalogue, all right? And you would think that they are the best multi-purpose chairs that you could possibly get, one that you can sit in, and if you wanted to lie down and have a nap, you could do that. You'd think so. However, if that was true, you'd be able to buy them from IKEA. And I've checked, you can't buy them from IKEA. So I have a theory. It's a con. The hospital system globally, right? And I don't know why. I've seen photos. They're in America too, so I just assume it's global. I'm not sure. That's also a bit Western, isn't it? Anyway, they put those chairs in there intentionally to make it uncomfortable so that we might feel as uncomfortable as our partners. Yeah, cool. I'm just checking if everyone's awake. That's a joke, obviously. You're all awake. That's great. The Christmas story this morning is is centered around the birth of Jesus. And we see that particularly in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But today, this is the first sermon in what I assume will be a series. I don't know what everybody else is preaching on. I thought we'd look at the very start of the Christmas story. And even that's a big claim. I'm not sure it's the very start, but I think it's close to the very start. We're going to look at some Old Testament prophecies about the start of Jesus. I reckon Kate knew that, especially we talked about it, so that's why she's already setting you guys up for what I'm going to preach about. So we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to start about the prophecies of the Messiah. And the Old Testament contains a lot of these prophecies that foretell Jesus. And I've only picked just three of them. And I even cheated. Two of them are from the same prophet. So, like, really, I don't know if that counts, but we're going to go with three. So we're going to read Isaiah 7, 14. And this is a passage that predicts the virgin birth, specifically the virgin birth. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." And I jumped ahead to Isaiah 9. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the last one I grabbed was from Micah. Micah 5 verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem," I'm not going to try and pronounce that. I actually listened to it on the Bible, but I still get it wrong. "Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times." Now, like I said, there's actually a lot of Old Testament prophecies of Jesus. There's prophecies about his life, his lineage, that he would come from Jesse. There's prophecies of his ministry, the miracles, the things that he would perform. A lot of them come from Isaiah. There's prophecies of his death and resurrection. There's, you know, in Psalms, we talks about his rising again. In Isaiah 53, he talks about his death. There's prophecies of his second coming in Zechariah and in Acts, even though that Acts is in the Old Testament. Prophecies regarding his eventual return and his final judgment. sitting on the throne. And I, the Google search on Blue Letter Bible that I did said that the figures are 300 odd. So there's 300 prophecies-ish in the Old Testament that refer to the coming of Messiah. Isn't that really cool? Prophecies that talk about, you know, 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus. Prophecies of his coming, prophecies of the Messiah. And God's provided that so that we would be confident and sure when the Messiah comes, we know who he is based on those prophecies. That's not what I wrote, but that's actually giving away the ending of the story. So we'll talk about that later. We'll start with the prophecy of the Messiah. So Isaiah, in those two verses we read, makes prophecies that the son would be born from a virgin and would call him Emmanuel, that we would call him in chapter 9, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And like I said, that Isaiah was written about 700 years before Jesus. And like I said, God intended that we would know who Jesus was and be confident of who he is based on these prophecies. We see at the birth of Jesus the words of Isaiah used by the angel that visits Joseph, Mary and Joseph. And he announces to Joseph that Mary will bear a son and his name will be Jesus and that he will save people from his sins. And the words of the angel say that the virgin will conceive, this is exactly the same, and give birth to a son, he'll be called Emmanuel. Right there, God told Isaiah and then instructed his angels to speak the same words to Joseph. Okay, so what are these prophecies? Just Isaiah, if we look at them, I wanted to just pick out some key points from those verses of Isaiah that tell us about who Jesus is so that we may recognize him better. And I chose three because everyone seems to choose three, so we'll do three. The first one is hope. When Isaiah's prophecies come, they are talking to us, they were talking to the Jews at the time, giving them hope of the coming Messiah. God provides assurances of his promise to deliver, the promise he gave to Abraham. The second point is guidance. God provides us the ability to recognize Jesus as a wonderful counselor, which means we can seek him for wisdom. In our world when we're full of confusion, we're full of distraction and noise, in the world that we live in, we know that we can seek Jesus and receive his counsel. And the third point I found was peace. If we understand, as Isaiah put it, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we can have peace in ourself, in our own relationships, in who we are, that we are saved and loved by God, and that he makes our path straight. Those three points, hope, guidance, and peace. I also thought, isn't that so much nicer than those live, laugh, love things that people put on the walls? I could get rid of them and put hope, guidance, peace on your wall. I could make some money, I'll print them, that sounds great. Nah. Etsy, that's all right. The prophetic word of Isaiah encourages us to place our trust in God, to seek his guidance, and to illustrate the peace in our life that we're meant to live with. But it also portrays the authority of God that he will be a future king. That God, or that Jesus, is the one that is bringing to our world that hope, peace, and guidance. And that's what we need today. We desperately do need this wonderful counselor. If we look at Micah, it provides details of Jesus' birthplace. And that might not sound too significant, but actually it is. Because we know that Bethlehem wasn't, It wasn't a significant town. It wasn't a large city. But it's probably why the inns were full. I don't know. And similar to the prophecies of Isaiah, God once again gives us confidence in the New Testament that Jesus is the Messiah he's sending. Now, I'm going to maybe cheat a bit because I said I was talking about the Old Testament, but we're going to quickly read the account of the three wise men that visit King Herod. So if you can bring up Matthew 2. Matthew 2 says, there is one, so this is the the three wise men talking to Herod. There is one who is born King of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod hears this, he becomes disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all of the people's priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means the least amongst the rulers, and out of you will come a ruler, a shepherd, my people, who will shepherd my people, Israel. Now, it's not a surprise that the wise men, that the chiefs, chief priests and teachers of the law were familiar with that verse. On hearing from those three wise men that the Savior was born, those chief priests knew where he was going to be born. The 3 points that I took out of this verse was that we need to recognize Jesus. The wise men knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Hearing that Jesus was born, they immediately recognized that it fit the prophecy. So for us, when we hear the story of Jesus, do we recognize him as our Savior? Second is to act on that knowledge. I couldn't get past these chief priests because I just think, man, they're not very smart. They heard of Jesus and didn't seek him. They did not seek him. They would rather stay with the king. They would rather stay in their own comfort than hear the birth of the Messiah and get out of the kingdom and go find him. We got to do the same thing, right? We can get comfortable here. We can get comfortable in our lives and doing the same thing. We can get comfortable, but are we actively pursuing Jesus? If you heard his voice or his call, if you knew he wanted you to do something, would you do it? When I read this verse, it prompts me to reflect on that. It's not merely my understanding of Jesus, but it's my engagement with him. It's my choice to follow him. I've also put in here, are we sharing that message with others? As Infinity Church, when we say we want to introduce Melbourne to Jesus, we're going to act on that. The third is the worship and reverence of those wise men. The wise men journeyed to worship the newborn king. And put king with that capital K, right? The king. It reminds us of how important it is to worship Jesus. That they would stop their lives wherever they were, journey however far they journeyed, just to put their presents, put their gifts at the feet of Jesus. It's an expression of adoration. How does that look in our lives today? I thought of some points. It could be through personal devotion. It could be through worship. And it could be through acts of service. The verses that we read clearly identify who Jesus is. We have the prediction of him coming. We have the New Testament outworking of those prophecies. The birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, planned hundreds of years, I dare say from the beginning of time. There's a call, there's a responsibility on our lives today to respond to that. There are a characterization, an illustration of Jesus' love and his deep desire to be in relationship with us. And as believers of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we can have confidence in our faith through the word, through the prophecies that Jesus the Messiah was born. It feels like that's something we can gloss over quickly, right? Like I've just given you a bunch of information. I've just given you a bunch of stories, or not stories, but like, what's the word? Information of how Jesus was born, is born. And in Christmas time, we can do this quite a lot. We can celebrate Christmas. We can set up our Christmas tree. We can sing carols like we just did. We can buy presents, Merry Christmas to each other, can be kind to each other. Maybe we're not kind. Maybe we're walking through our lives, doing our shopping. Maybe we're talking to people. We're in a hurry. We're not looking out for the Messiah. Have faith that God keeps his promises, right? God keeps his promise that a Messiah will come, a savior of the world. And how good is it that we may know him? But it's not enough just to know him, like I said. We must recognize Jesus, act on that knowledge, and worship him. And through that, we have the hope, guidance, and peace that sets us apart as Christians, as followers of Christ. But it is also our responsibility to share that with our neighbors. So the story of Christmas itself is actually a call to action for us. It's a call. It's a call to make sure that the people that Daniel talks to at work, the people that we see in our lives, know who we are, but know who Jesus is, most importantly. There's a classic hymn, I'm just trying to emulate my best friend. There's a classic hymn written in a country western style by a great man called Colin Buchanan, who, by the way, was in town on Friday, if you missed out. And if you don't know who Colin Buchanan is, that's probably because you don't have little kids or you weren't brought up playing it in the car. At the end of the Magi song, which is the three wise men, he says, if you want to be wise, you'll seek him too. If you want to be wise, you'll seek Jesus. Today's message is about seeking Jesus. Today's message is about being wise enough to recognize him when we see him. So I'll finish saying December. Can I challenge you to celebrate the birth of Jesus and not a festive season? Not gathering around a tree, not just attending Christmas services, because we'll do that. But would you celebrate Jesus with your loved ones? And remember this deep significance of the holiday season. That as predicted, as prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus' birth would be the incredible story of grace and love from Jesus, God sending his son. And let's share that. Like I said, let's share that. Because I have noticed that people now, more than ever, are looking for hope. I was talking to Daniel on Friday about the National Church Life Survey identifies that young men now are coming to church three times more likely than young women are. People are looking for their identity. People are looking for a reason and a purpose. There is no better time than the birth of Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah sent to the world, for us to share that. People are looking for hope. And I want to be, if I can be one small portion able to share Jesus in their lives, just to tell them I go to church so that maybe they would have confidence to go themselves. That would be a Christmas miracle. I want to finish up there and I want to pray. But just remember those points. Hope, guidance, peace. Recognize Jesus, act on him, and worship. Lord God, I thank you today that you have provided your Savior for us. Lord, that you orchestrated from the beginning that we could find a way back to you. And God, I pray that you would give us wisdom. Would you help us recognize you in all that we do? Lord, let us not get sucked into presents. Let us not get sucked into overeating and indulgence, Lord, but may we remember the birth of Jesus, the sending of the Messiah to save the world. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you so much for making a way for us. And God, I pray that we would honor you, that we would worship you in all that we do. Amen.